You are listening to This is Stockton, part of the Destination Marketing Podcast Network.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to This is Stockton. I'm your host, Wes Ray.
And I'm Amy Alpers.
And I am excited about today's guest. You know why?
Why?
Because I don't know if we would have, you know, it was Stockton Flavor Fest is really how this relationship started. So, and they were very persistent. I will say, like, when we opened up applications, I don't know if you remember this, but we opened up applications. It took us a long time. First year of the festival, we were like a little, we had a lot of things going on, but they were persistent. And I was really glad they were, because they had a great video that they shared that they did during the pandemic. I don't know if you remember that one with all the little pictures on it when they're doing their music. And then we turned it over to our booking agent and they made everything happen, but they were well received. People loved them. I know.
Are you going to tell the people what it is? You haven't said it, or are you holding out?
Yeah, it's a secret. No.
Okay.
Stockton Soul. So
Stockton Soul.
And you know, it's funny because they weren't on my radar personally before Flavor Fest. And I know that they're newer, but also like now they're doing all kinds of partnerships and events throughout the city. And I just love to see that. I love their concept and what they're all about and who's in it. And I know we just did a video shoot with them for another project that we're working on. So we've got a lot of cool things going on with Stockton Soul. So I'm excited about it.
Yeah, I think Stockton Soul was their big introduction to all of us in the office was at Flavor Fest. And I know I always bounce back to what my siblings, how their experience have been on the events we're hosting and whatnot. And my brother came back after and he's a musician. And he was like, dude, who was that group? And I was trying to explain to him. I was like, they're new. And he was just like, people were blown away by the energy of this group. So anyways, it's not for us to talk about. We are very excited that we have Darcy Ford James, who is not only the co-founder of Stockton Soul, but she is also a music instructor in the public school system here in Stockton. So Darcy, welcome to the show and thank you for taking the time to chat with us today. Very excited to learn all about your history with music and what led to the creation of Stockton Soul. But before we get into everything, can you share a bit with us about your Stockton story?
Yeah, so I'm Darcy, obviously. I'm from Stockton. I moved here when I was in sixth grade. So I've been here for a long time, went to school in the area, and then I stayed for college and went to UOP. And just, I moved away for a while, moved away to Texas, but then came back because my family was here. And this is just my home, and I love it.
We love it. Mm-hmm. We love a hometown queen.
Mm-hmm. I know. Well, you know what? Also, a music teacher in the public school system. I mean, where's the medal?
Yeah,
I know, for real.
I took cornet. I don't even know what grade it was in, maybe fourth or fifth grade. I think that was about it for me. But
what's a lot cornet?
It's like a small trumpet. So I don't even know if they give kids cornets anymore, but
we get recorders, dog. that's the new cornet maybe.
You know, just, well, first of all, we all know that public school funding's been challenged and, mm-hmm. and music and arts and a lot of those trades have suffered. And so I just think it's awesome that we still have people that are dedicated to that craft in schools. And I don't know. Kudos to that. So
yeah.
Why don't you tell us why you decided to create Stockton Soul and really about this soul orchestra genre? I'm kind of curious about that too.
Well, yeah, I didn't say that what I actually teach. I'm very lucky that I get to teach string instruments. So I teach violin, viola, cello, bass, and that I do that exclusively.
That's awesome.
And that's what I'm trained on. That was the instrument that I started on when I was in third grade. And I don't know, you know, if you've noticed this, but most soul music and the music that I love is generally like horns and percussion, keyboards. You don't generally see violins. But that was the music that I was passionate about growing up. It's the music that, you know, I listened to on the radio, that I danced to. And growing up studying the violin, there was really only one option for me, and that was classical music. And if I wanted to study it and if I wanted to perform, those were my choices, there were no choices. You see a lot more jazz violin now, but it's generally one person improvising with the group, you don't generally see a group of string musicians playing Black American music, which is my passion. And I, you know, I wanted something for my students. I wanted to increase their options. I wanted to create something so that they could say, hey, I can see myself doing that. I wanted something that I didn't have. And, you know, I, for years, I've been teaching for 22 years.
Kudos.
And, you know, I complained about it for a long time and said, you know, I wish that existed. And finally, I realized it's not going to exist unless I create it. So I just decided that I was going to do something that I wanted to see. I was just going to just do it and not wait for it, not wait for other people to do it. And so that was the biggest inspiration in the beginning, was just to have something for my students. And then, of course, something for myself, too, because I love it so much. And so we went to this with the soul orchestra genre because you could see more people had more of a knowledge base of that, like Motown and Curtis Mayfield. Right. But sort of what we do with Stockton Soul, when we have our band, it's just string instruments playing with the band instruments. It's not really like a full orchestra.
Right.
But we do want to grow into having full orchestra performances. And we're kind of like going between both the full orchestra and the band setting, which is kind of cool.
Okay. Okay. I dig that. And I honestly, I think that theme that you sort of mentioned, it's this, if not me, then who, that has come up a lot on this podcast. Like, we are all living in this community and we've either seen things in other places or just want to experience them for ourselves. And you can sit back for a while and hope someone else will throw it together and you can go experience it. And then I think a lot of people get to the point and they say, you know what? Guess I'm doing it, and I'm going to do it for the betterment of the community and make it awesome. So we appreciate that that kind of momentum that you're bringing.
That's why
it down.
We do a festival.
Seriously,
if not us, then who?
Exactly. And
so we got ourselves in that business too.
So yeah, go ahead.
I was going to say the Flavor Fest was awesome. We really enjoyed ourselves. It was just beautiful. Thank you for putting that on.
It was a labor of love. That is for sure. Labor of love. So you mentioned that you've been teaching for 22 years. So is there a balance between teaching in the public schools and playing for Stockton Soul? Or is a lot of it intertwined? Are you finding your musicians at the schools and bringing them into Stockton Soul? How does it work?
Right now, it's kind of in the growing phase, the growth phase. So I wouldn't say I'm living a balanced life right now because
who does, Darcy? Yeah,
that's overrated.
Yeah,
it's like I'm just trying to keep my head above water because Stockton Soul's growing so fast, and my plan is to have eventually my students be part of it, but that takes time, and so you know, I need to keep doing what I'm doing in the schools full time, and then hopefully those students can go on. But it's like Stockton Soul, in terms of being a nonprofit, is in the growth stages, which is kind of difficult, trying to get a board together, get donors, write grants.
Who needs a board when you have a Holly? Holly is freaking awesome, man.
She is.
Holly's the one who was on my doorstep about Flavor Fest. And then I finally got to meet her in real life a couple months ago. And I was like, oh, yeah, like everyone wants a Holly on their board, man.
She is awesome.
She is making it happen. Yeah.
She is our mama bear. She fights for us.
It's so cool.
But yeah, so right now it's not too intertwined, although I try to get my students to come to our performances. That's the biggest intertwining right now.
So how did you build this kind of coalition of local musicians? Did you just have some local friends? I mean, who is in this group? I know you don't have to list names, but kind of give us an idea of what kind of folks in the community are involved in Stockton Soul.
Yeah. So we started off, my co-founder, Jonathan Ivy, and I, it was just friends that we went to school with. We were both UOP students. He was 20 years younger than me, and he had just graduated. And I have, you know, friends around town. And so we just kind of got a group of friends together and started practicing in my living room Our first project was the video that you saw. We had to do that because during COVID, we couldn't find a place to rehearse. So that was our introduction to Stockton. And we did that. We released it on Juneteenth. And so that was all of my friends. I just asked them, hey, could you make this recording for us and video yourself? And I edited it together. So it's basically fellow teachers, other young musicians in the area that just play professionally. One of our saxophone player, keyboard player, he also does arrangements for us. He's a professor or teacher at UOP. He teaches the jazz program. Jelani is our hip hop artist. He also is teaching a songwriting class at UOP. And he also has written some of the songs that we perform. So yeah, just I guess friends and colleagues that all come together around my passion. I think, you know, I'm the one who's kind of, I would call myself the glue, you know, I bring it all together.
Every group needs it though, or nothing. Yeah. There's no momentum. It's awesome.
I mentioned earlier that I am seeing more and more Stockton Soul performances on our events calendar. So tell us a little bit about some of the projects you guys have been working on, some of the places you've been performing, and things you're looking forward to in the future.
Yeah, so one of the coolest things we did this last year is we went out into the public schools and did assemblies about Black American awesome. Music, and we covered all the genres from blues, just like we did in our concert, all the way through hip-hop, and you know, talked to the kids about the elements of the music. And so that's something that we do on an ongoing basis. In fact, we have a performance coming up. Then we also played at the Tuliburg Press event, at the Right Place there.
Oh, yeah.
That Paula Scheel, she asked us to play. We had a wellness fair event October 22nd, where it was a celebration of life from our co-founder, Jonathan Ivey, where we invited different vendors from the area, people that deal with mental health, suicide prevention, LGBTQ issues. We had, and then at that concert, that was amazing. And we hope to make that an annual event.
Sweet.
So, and then upcoming, we plan to do a holiday concert every year. We just had our holiday concert on December 3rd. That's going to be always a full orchestra event where I hire more musicians, more violinists, cellists, violists, and get a big orchestra going. And then, you know, soulful Christmas songs like Donny Hathaway and Stevie Wonder. And then we also want to have a big kickoff concert in February for Black History Month. And then awesome. We'll always do the Flavor Fest.
Oh, yeah.
If you'll have us again.
I feel like you're going to be on our list.
Yeah, for real. Exactly. Oh, I love that. That's a good schedule. I'm quite an emotional person when it comes to music. So imagine me in the audience of a full-blown orchestra singing Black American music. Oh, God. Just feeling all the things. I love it. You mentioned that you were doing assemblies in the public schools, which is very cool. Like thinking back to the assemblies I had when I was in school, how cool to have a music education component, and with all you guys coming in there, that's just very cool. So is there other educational components that are involved in Stockton Soul?
Yeah, so the presentation that we do, that's the biggest thing that I have, or the biggest aspiration, is to elevate the status of Black American music and show people how vast it is and how beautiful it is and how it's a part of the country's narrative. It's our story. It's the soundtrack of America, basically, going all the way back to even folk music, the fiddle players and banjo players. In fact, we work with, I don't know if you're familiar with Snap Jackson. He's a banjo player, and the Knock on Wood players, because the banjo is an African instrument. It originated in Africa, and the Black fiddle players made money playing at dances. And so that folk, there's a folk music component, there's blues, there's jazz. I mean, that's like all the way up through the 1920s. And then you have soul. and then you have neo soul, and then you have hip hop. So we talk to the kids about the different eras in the music, and we talk to them about the elements of the music, and really show that this is music worth learning about. It's valid, because, you know, when I was in school and I was studying violin, there was just one music that we studied. It was Western classical music, and right. That was what was seen as the most elite, superior, above all others.
Right.
And I'm not saying that that music is any less. I'm just saying that, you know, I'm trying to equalize the playing field and show that, you know, all music has value. And it's very important too that for my students, for me to reach my students with their music and what they love and help them feel that, you know, the music that they love has value and importance. So when we do our assemblies, we talk about that. We're really careful with our music choices. We choose music that is empowering. We have a song called Apple Tree that we do by Erykah Badu. And it talks about, you know, not being afraid to be yourself and not caring what other people think. And we talk to the students about that. We do a song called Love Train. You know, it's like, get on the love train, mm-hmm. and just universal themes that are positive. And we choose music too that has mass appeal, like September by Earth, Wind, and Fire, Superstition. Because I don't care who you are, you know those songs, and you've grooved those songs. And music is healing. It brings people together. And that's just, I think that's the kind of message that the world needs right now. And so, you know, it's not, we don't just play music. I feel like it's almost like a ministry in a way, you know, of empowerment. And that's what we want in the community of Stockton. And my goal, I'll say this real quick, is I want to bring other artists. I want Stockton to be known through Stockton Soul, you know, artists to come out to Stockton, play at our arena, and have Stockton Soul play with you, be your backup orchestra. You know, that's
a bad idea.
Yeah, heck yeah. I mean, we're in the business of promoting this city, baby. So that is that is all up our alley.
I think it's cool you're going to school. I just hope you can do more of that. I know that's not always easy with working with schools, and you know, they get a lot of assemblies, but they got to spend a lot of time in the classroom too. But I hopefully you can do more of that, because I think that's so important. Not only the message, but exposing young people to music, and you know, because they obviously listen to music, but music that's different, and that I don't know, something about when you hear a small orchestra, large orchestra, how it makes it you feel through your body. I mean, I get chills when I go see the symphony or other large performances like that. I just think it's special. So kudos.
Well, and I think it's really interesting too. Like I think a lot of people during the pandemic were listening to podcasts and whatnot. And I know one of the ones I listened to was 1619, and they had an episode that was all about the birth of American music. And it touches a lot on like how everything in America is based off of Black American music. Like you can't hear anything and not trace it back. So I think it's very cool that, you know, not everyone's sitting down and listening to these podcasts all the time, right? So you're actually going out and educating these young ones about like where this came from. It's like, oh no, you might think that the banjo's some, you know, whatever. It's very cool. It's like giving respect back to where the roots are coming from. So,
there's no doubt about that. Cool. I mean, those Brits, you know, we already know what they're listening to, because that's exactly, you know, what Darcy learned in college and school, right? Classic, mm-hmm. Western classical music.
Exactly.
That's what the Brits brought to America, was that. Yep. They didn't bring any of that cool soul music to this country.
Exactly.
We know
exactly
how that came about, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. So Darcy, you mentioned a little bit about your co-founder, Mr. Ivy, and we know you've been focusing a lot more on wellness and mental health issues over the past year. If you feel comfortable, would you like to talk a little bit more about Mr. Ivy's story?
Yeah. So when we actually, it's kind of crazy, from the idea formulation for Stockton Soul to now, it's only been about 18 months.
Oh.
And we've done so much through that time.
Yeah.
But Jonathan and I, we connected because we had this shared love of the music, and we were both string players. He was a cellist and I'm a violinist. And we just had this desire to play this music that we loved so much. And he, like I had mentioned before, he was younger than me, about 20 years younger than me. And he had that youthful idealism. And so whereas I had this idea, I thought, there's no way I could do this. And I mentioned it to him and he said, let's do it. So he was super excited about it. And we worked on it and we created that video. And through the summer, we got the smaller group together to do outreach. And throughout that time, I knew he was struggling. He had just graduated from college. And so he was in that time, that kind of scary time where you're out in the real world. And you, when you're in college, you're still a little safe. You have safety, you have support. And just that, I think just being out in the real world and being somebody who's super creative and wanting to have music be his profession, but knowing that, you know, that's something you have to work really hard for. It takes time to build. So knowing that you have to have a real jobby, you know, like going working at McDonald's or working at, you know, retail. And I think the idea of that was so difficult for him. And I knew he was struggling with that. But, you know, working with him, he was just always so happy and full of joy. I didn't know how bad things were. And so he was really struggling with depression. There were a couple of times he told me that he wasn't doing well, but he said he just was working his way through it. And we were getting ready actually for our first performance. And it was on a Saturday. We were supposed to have a rehearsal. And I called him and he didn't pick up. So I went over to the house and he had committed suicide. Mm. And so it just completely threw me off guard. He was, even though he was 20 years younger than me, I kind of looked up to him for the creative inspiration because he was so talented and he had really awesome ideas and was very sure about how things should be. One of the stories that I tell is that one of the things I wanted to do was just play the melodies, like the vocal melodies with our instruments. And he said, no, it has to be, we have to use voices because we're doing justice to the music. That's how it was created. That's what we need to do. And I said, I realized he's right. That's what we needed to do. And it was just little things like that where I could say I'm 20 years older than him. So I know it all, but right. No, there were things that he knew. And so when he was gone, it like tore me apart. I was like, what do I do? And I wanted to quit, honestly. But, you know, everyone around me, you know, they let me grieve, but encouraged me to keep going because what we're doing is so important. And now our message really has shifted. Well, I wouldn't say shifted. We've added the message of mental wellness and taking care of yourself, dealing with past traumas, letting know, and this is something we talk to the kids in schools about, if you're not feeling well, let people know. Because in our culture, we think we have to be okay all the time. People ask us how we are, and we feel like we have to say, I'm great. We feel like we have to be happy all the time. And we don't always feel like that. And it's okay to tell your friends, people that love you, that care about you, when you're not feeling good, when you're not having a good day. It's okay to say that. And, you know, we had a lot of kids that came back to us and said that they really appreciated that. Telling kids too, by using ourselves as an example, Jonathan, if we had known, we would have done anything for him.
Of course.
You know, we loved him so much. So we would have done anything. So we let them know there's always somebody around you that loves you so much that they'll do anything for you. You know, your teachers, if it's not your parents, it could be your teachers, it could be the counselor, it could be the custodian. There's somebody around that cares about you. And so I feel, you know, we've got a lot of letters and positive comments about that. So that message is one of our most important messages. And that's why we did the wellness fair that I mentioned. And we will continue to do that annually in celebration of Jonathan.
Cool. Thank you for sharing that. And I think what you're doing is with Stockton Soul and your whole group is really, there couldn't be a better tribute to Jonathan and Jonathan's life. And so for those listening, I think this is an organization you need to support because the message they're doing and their mission and how they're telling that story in our community is a positive one, and we need more of that. So thank you for sharing. That was great.
Yeah, that was great. And so, Darcy, with that said, do you guys have, like, what's a future plan or goal for Stockton Soul?
Well, I kind of said that. That's one of my main goals. Oh, here, one of my goals is to have our logo on the water tower, you know, where it has the Stockton. So that's
in line.
We hear about that water tower all the time. Yeah.
That's the first goal. But perfect. No, but we want to create like a stage show that has, so Tama Brisbane is Stockton's poet laureate, and mm-hmm. she worked with us at our last performance and work with spoken word poets and maybe some theater arts people. And we want to incorporate dance as well and have like a show that we put on that we tour, like a stage show, I don't want to call it a musical because it's going to be in the way that we do it, where we educate about the music, but that's like a performance that we could tour with. And then of course, continue to do our school performances. And we would love, we did do a professional development for one of the local school districts, and we would love to do that, to talk to the teachers about our experiences and how they can relate to their students using music. So there's just a lot of big plans. And also I like to let things develop organically, which they totally. Really have, you know, people ask us to do something. That's actually how we started with our school performances. Somebody asked us to put something together. And so we did. And then that came together. So I have plans, but I also, I want to wait and see what comes our way too.
Yeah. One of the things I like is when you come up with this kind of concept and create a group or musical group or a band or whatever, you could have called it 1,000 different things. And I love the fact that you have our city's name in the title. Heck, I just yeah. think that mm-hmm. makes us happy. Of course, just we need a lot of pride in this city. You know, we always mm-hmm. need to do that. And I think just by including the word Stockton in your name of your group, just means a lot to us. I know that for sure, you know, because you could have called it a lot of things, but you didn't shy away from putting the word Stockton there. And I appreciate that no, very much. Cool. So,
and I want to say too, Jonathan was very proud of his city. He was born and raised in Stockton, and we would talk about it all the time. We would go downtown and he would say, I love it down here. Our very first photo shoot we did in downtown Stockton. And he loved the city. That's and awesome. I do too.
Well, we appreciate that. So we wanted to make sure that people know how to follow you and find you. So if you could talk about if you have a website, social media handles, and also are there any needs that you have as an organization?
Yeah. So we'll start with our website. It's StocktonSoul.com. And our Instagram and Facebook handles are at Official Stockton Soul. And then we do have needs, and we need to get started with our grant writing process. So if we, you know, have volunteers that would be willing to do that, donations, we could always use donations to supplement our performances. We are, you know, with our ticket sales, does it cover everything? And my goal is to just have every performance be very high quality. So I really want to pay my musicians well. And so, you know, donors will help that. Tickets don't always cover that cost. We need board members, people that are willing to do fundraising. On our website, there's a link to give. There's a link to our Give Butter site where people can donate. And then we also have merch. People want to buy t-shirts and sweatshirts. And you can get that directly on our website.
There's still 10 days before Christmas. You can get your Stockton Soul merch.
Ooh,
you know,
that's right.
The other thing I you mentioned you it was important to pay your musicians. And I find that a fascinating topic because I feel like there's so many people in the community that love musicians to play for free because they get exposure, right? I know you've heard this, right?
Oh, yes.
And when we did Stockton Arts Week, or when we talk about doing things at our festivals or events or anything, we never hit up any artist or anybody to do anything for free. Even if it's a small amount of money or contribution, it really ticks me off when people think, oh, you hang your art in my restaurant, it'll give you free exposure, or, you know, do come and perform for my party because you need the exposure. You can get more business later. It's like, that's not how this works. This is a skill and talent that's been invested in. So I appreciate that everybody's getting paid. And I think that's an awesome thing. And I think that's important for people to remember. This is not the Stockton Soul Club. This is a band who needs to get compensated for what they do. So anyway, that was my soapbox for the
podcast. I love it. It's an educational thing, and we will not tolerate people not paying artists for their work here at Visit Stockton. So you heard it here. All right, Darcy, lastly, where, and this is something we ask everyone on the show. Mm-hmm. So imagine someone's visiting you from out of town. Where are you taking them in Stockton? Where's your favorite place to take them?
Okay, can I say two places?
Yes, you may.
Okay, so I love the Miracle Mile, the cute love little it. Shops down Miracle Mile, just browsing, and then the waterfront. Yay. I love the waterfront, you know, with the big tent along the Park Weber's Point.
Yes. Yeah. We do love the waterfront too. We're moving down to the waterfront. We'll be in the process of moving when this podcast, well, maybe when this podcast comes out, we're working on it. Yeah.
Yeah.
We're excited to get a little bit closer to the water. So amazing. Amazing. Yeah. Well, Darcy, thank you so much for joining us today. This was awesome. Super educational. We appreciate what you are doing for this city and for these kids and for just the education of the people of this town and bringing something fun and entertaining, but emotional. I don't know. You got a lot going on and we are here for it. So I hope everyone listening is supportive and gets out there and is following Stockton Soul because they are worth getting into. So thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for what you're doing too. I really appreciate just the visibility that you're bringing to the city, the positivity. We need that.
Awesome.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. And now we are going to head over to our friend Anthony for a Stockton pop culture moment.
Thank you, Amy. On December 6th, 1920, a boy named David was brought into this world. He was born in Concord and raised in Ione, the son of a cattle rancher and pianist. He was the youngest of three boys. Like his brothers Henry and Howard, David had taken up his mother's craft. His difficulty in reading music due to his poor eyesight led him to fake it. And it worked. Young David eventually pushed music aside and followed in his father's footsteps. His pursuit in higher education would lead him right here to Stockton, California in 1938, where he attended the University of the Pacific, then known as the College of the Pacific, chasing a degree in veterinary science. But something was wrong. David was studying zoology, but the tunes in his head wouldn't stop. He had pushed music aside, but he wasn't done with it. Nor was it done with him. One day, as he sat daydreaming in class, the head of zoology, Dr. Arnold, told him, "Your mind's not here. It's across the lawn in the conservatory. Please go there. Stop wasting my time and yours." The young David did exactly that, but it didn't come without an obstacle. David's passion for music was nearly thwarted when a professor discovered that he was unable to sight read and threatened to expel him. However, many came to David's defense, arguing that his ability to write counterpoint and harmony more than compensated and demonstrated his skill with music notation. While the college was concerned, they allowed David to graduate after he promised to never teach piano to anyone. This young man would go on to be drafted into the U.S. Army during World War II, where he volunteered to play piano in the Red Cross show. He went on to create one of the armed forces' first racially integrated bands, the Wolfpack. And this would only be the beginning of David's great impact on the music world. You see, the David in this story is none other than David Brubeck, the legendary jazz pianist and composer, the man known as a foremost exponent of cool jazz, the founder of the Dave Brubeck Quartet with his army buddy Paul Desmond, the man who revolutionized jazz by blending styles that made him stand out from the rest, the winner of multiple music awards and honors, including the Grammy Lifetime Achievement Award in 1996. Additionally, Brubeck's 1959 album Time Out was added to the Library of Congress's National Recording Registry in 2005, while he himself was inducted into the California Hall of Fame in 2008 and awarded an honorary Doctor of Music from Berklee College of Music in 2009. David Brubeck, an icon whose great artistic accomplishments stem from that one moment on the campus of what is now the Pacific, where he decided to chase his love of music.
Thank you, Anthony. It's very cool to hear more about this history of Stockton music. Dave Brubeck. Man, there's Dave Brubeck mural downtown. We got all sorts of Brubeckened. So that's
have you seen that thing in my office? I have the Time magazine cover with it. He was on a print of it that hicks in the window. So yeah, he was. Awesome. You know what? I think people just don't know. They know the music side, but you know, he was considered a global ambassador. He used music to really, spread good word about jazz, but then also just about getting along and being better people. So anyway, yeah.
Cool and we'll stuff. Claim him. We'll claim him. Why not? Well. Awesome. Mm-hmm. All right, Wes, it is time for my events corner.
We're still working on our events theme music.
Need a jingle. We need a jingle.
We did some events theme music.
I kind of did a little. I liked it. I had to hold back because I had to sing for my first event Thursday, December 15th, today. Guess what this is.
It's a horse humming a song.
Was that a hand bell? Was that a hand bell? It was the Empire. I don't know why I went Star Wars when it's clearly a Christmas concert. But tonight at the Hagen Museum, the Opus handbells will be at the Hagen Museum. So twice a month, the Hagen Museum stays open late and has music and wine, I believe. And I freaked out when I saw this on the events list because I went to Catholic school and we were always going to handbell concerts and it has stuck with me. So that little click was the sound of the inner bell clicking on the brass. And then the hum was obviously
the
beautiful rendition
the
played Star Wars. Star Wars. Yeah. I don't know why that's the song that came to my head. Right. It seemed natural, but anyways, it's happening tonight, 7 p.m. at the Hagen Museum. And I think it's free. Yeah, it is. Mm-hmm. No.
Is no. You got to pay to get in. It's a museum.
Yeah. Pay to get in a museum. Enjoy the free music. So there you go. Very cool. Oh, $8 for adults, $7 for seniors, $5 for youth. So
there you go. I have a free event.
Go for it.
So tonight. So... You just gotta figure out your schedule here, but I think you can maybe do both.
Yeah.
There's a thing called the Ho Ho Holiday Ride, and I like this because I live, as I mentioned in our episode a couple episodes back, our holiday episode, that I live on the street where the Christmas lights are, Meadow Avenue, and so every year a group meets at Robbie's Bicycles, and everyone's invited. They meet at 6 p.m. at Robbie's Bicycles, and they do this ride all around neighborhoods in this kind of North Stockton area. We're looking at Christmas lights, and people get dressed up. Sometimes the bikes are lit up, but you can you dress warm, bring your helmet, festive apparel, bike decor, and you can ride around. So Robbie's Bicycles, 6 p.m. tonight. And after the ride, light refreshments will be served over at Robbie's bicycle shop. So again, it's free, though they do take donations for the San Joaquin Bike Coalition. So anyway, great way to get out, celebrate the holidays, get some exercise on your bike. And again, that's tonight.
I love it. I love it. I love it. And then this weekend, Sunday, December 18th, our friends at Friends of the Fox are having one of their classic movie showings, and it is White Christmas. So if you're looking to get cozy and get in the holiday mood, it is absolutely worth heading over there. We have a great blog on our website that talks about the experience of going to one of the classic movie series at the Bob Hope. One of the really cool things they do, doors open at 1, and then Dave Marino plays a live concert on the Mighty Morton organ, which is inside the theater, which does not happen very often in very many places. So just going for that alone would be awesome. But go and then check out the movie when it starts at 2 p.m.
Sweet. And the last event I'm going to talk about is because this is our last episode of December, so we want to talk about the Pacific men's basketball game. They're playing a big rival in the West Coast Conference. BYU is coming to Stockton, and we know this is going to be a popular game. Big rivalry, right? And it's also part of that, as we talked about with Pacific Athletics, that $70 five-game pack with their rivalry pack with the biggest games the Pacific men's basketball are playing this season. So Thursday, December 29th, we are actually the sponsor of this event, a Visit Stockton, and there'll be a food truck pregame party, and then go watch Pacific kick butt against BYU.
That's right.
And enjoy the game. So, that'll be at the Alex G. Spano Center on Thursday, December 29th. And again, the best deal is to get that 5-game pack for $60 or $70 because it ends up $12 a ticket. And these tickets are not $12 a piece. I can just tell you that. So anyway, get that ticket and go see BYU at Pacific Men's Basketball.
Yeah. And come to our party. We throw a big party. Yeah. So food there you trucks. Go.
Come on.
Food trucks. That's food our truck. Thing. So there you go. Totally. All right. Awesome. So to see all the events on the city's largest events calendar, go over to visitstockton.org. And plus, once you're there, you can sign up for our weekly newsletter and get them straight to your inbox every Wednesday morning.
Awesome. Well, I want to thank again, Darcy, Ford, James, for coming to tell us all about Stockton Soul. I love that interview, and I just love Stockton Soul, what they're doing. I mean, I hope if you're listening, you can support them in some way. And if you know somebody who is depressed, needs help, please reach out. Or if you need some help, their 988 is a suicide hotline. You know, go out there and just take care of yourself and support Stockton Soul. And be sure to check out our events calendar for their next concert.
That's right. And for supporting images and insights, be sure to follow at This Is Stockton Podcast on Instagram and check out thisisstockton.com to subscribe and share. To stay up to date with everything going on in Stockton, follow at Visit Stockton on Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, Pinterest, and YouTube. We will talk to you next time.
Thanks for listening to This Is Stockton, part of the Destination Marketing Podcast Network. Hosted by Wes Ray, Amy Alpers, and Anthony Estes with Visit Stockton and produced by Relic.